So before starting, I just want to acknowledge this. This shiur is dedicated by Harvey Nickerson in honor of his chavruta, Daniel Janus. So thank you very much, Harvey, who's here on Zoom. Thank you so much for sponsoring and dedicating this shiur in honor of Daniel. Okay, so we've spent a lot of time this week focusing on this topic of Yored Letoch Umanato Shel Chavero. Good. Okay. I've spent a lot of time in this area, and so there's a lot to say, and we're not going to cut. It's a fairly long discussion in the Gemara with a lot of back and forth, and we've been going through all different pieces of it. We're not going to cover all of it right now, and I think the plan is next week and maybe even the week after that, we're going to be two shiurim on Halacha L'maisa. The source sheets in the back. Yeah. Halacha L'maisa on this particular topic. But today I want to spend a little bit of time just without getting too much into the nitty-gritty halacha l'maisa, one pizza shop is open, someone else opens a pizza shop, like that type of thing. Before getting into that, spend a little bit of time just looking at this Gemara. I want to specifically focus on source number one, which is Rav Huna's initial statement, which is the following. Source number one. Amar Rav Huna, hai bar mevoa de oki rechaya, v'ata bar mevoa chavre v'kamoki gabe. Dinu de makavale, de me'akev ilave, de amarle, kapasakta le lechiyute. So Rav Huna says, you have someone in this mavui, he's got rechaim. A second person comes up and he wants to also set up rechaim. So dinu de me'akev, the first rechaim guy can say, you cannot open the rechaim here. I don't want you to open the rechaim here. And he has the rights to that because he can say, you are pasakta le lechiyute, you are. Stopping my income, you are breaking. You are stopping my livelihood here. And the Gemara then gives a suggestion. It suggests lema mseile. Perhaps the following case is a support for Rav Huna's opinion here, and it brings this case. Marchikin mitzudat hadag min hadag kimalo ritzat hadag v'kama amar Rabba bar Rav Huna ad parsa. So we have this statement. You have one fisherman. The second fisherman who wants to go cast his net has to distance himself. He's not allowed to put it right there. He has to be marchik himself a significant distance, kamalo ritzat hadag, which is a parsa. He has to be a parsa away. And so the Gemara here is suggesting that, okay, it's the same thing. Just like Rav Huna doesn't allow this rechaim to open up over here because you're creating this sort of competition. So look at these. The fisherman, diagim, can't be too close to each other. The second one has to distance himself a certain amount. In order to allow the first one to still be able to catch his fish. Shani Dagim. So the Gemara then says, no, it's not necessarily. Maybe Shani Dagim Diavi Siara. No, maybe Dagim are different for whatever reason. And we're going to talk a little bit about what this Diavi Siara is in the second half. But the first half I want to focus on is the comparison piece. This Lema Mesayele, this idea of comparing the two. So starting with Rashi in source number two. Marchikin mitzudat hadag min hadag. So the way Rashi understands what this scenario is he says, Tzayad shenatan einav bedag ad shikir choro. So you have one fisherman who's really invested his time and his energy, and he knows, he's looked into where the fish is, where his hole is, I guess, where the fish lives. Marchikin sha'ar tzayadim mitzudatan misham. All the other ones, they have to distance themselves from the area that the first fisherman has sort of scoped out, has identified as, this is where this fish is, I'm going to catch this fish, I want this fish. They have to distance themselves. Alma, afal gav de lo zacha be, velo matelia de, marchikin misham, damrelai kapasak de l'chiyuti. So Rashi says, even though he wasn't zoche, he didn't do any kinyan on this. Velo matelia de, it's not in his hand, it's not in his net. He just has identified which fish that he wants. It seems that already is enough. Marchikin misham, they have to distance. The other fishermen have to distance because their interference will end up harming his Parnasa is the fish that he's able to catch. And so that's that. That's the way Rashi understands this. So Tosfot takes this in connects this case to a different conversation of this Ani Mepech Becharara. So this is source number three. So Tosfot says, Marchikin mitzudat hadag. Afal gav derbenu tam mefarash de bedvar shel hefker, afilu rasha lo mikri. Kedetznan, there's a Mishnah in Peya. Gebe peya piras talito alea mavirino tomimena vechentna beperakam de baba mitzia ra'at mitzia v'nafal alea uva acher v'yichzikba zeh sheyichzikba zacha. He brings two cases where someone is when one person Reuven is zocha something from hefker, and he's Reuven is trying to get this object. Reuven is whatever he's doing. He throws his talus on the top on top of it, or he's he falls on top of this, whatever. In that act, he was not kona it, but it's clear to everyone that he's trying to be kona it. Number two walks up and takes it. Number two gets it. Number one was already trying to make a kinyan on it, but number two, he didn't. Number one didn't make a kinyan net, so number two, he makes the kinyan. He gets to keep it. So that's clearly from Peya and from Baba Metzia. So that when you're zocha something from hefker, you beat someone else to it. That's totally fine. We have these mishnayot that support that. It says velo mikri rasha Rashi. Tosfot says the third line down, source number three. Velo mikri rasha ela be'ani ha'me'apech v'charara. You are a rasha though in the following scenario. Or one is a Russia, not you. One is a Russia. In the following scenario, there's an Ani who is trying to acquire the Charar, is trying to acquire some food. He's trying to acquire this. And you come along and you beat him to it. In that case, which Tosfot is assuming is not a case of Hefker, in that case, if you get it before him, that you're a Russia. Because look, this guy's trying to get this already. He's already on the way. He's put a lot of effort and energy into getting this specific thing. With you jump in, you get it. Come on. Just you can get it somewhere else. He says, you can go somewhere else. But so then our case with the dugim, he says, our case is not a problem. It's a devar shel hefker here, right? These fish are ownerless. So presumably, fisherman number two should be allowed to cast his net to get the fish. What's wrong with that? How is this any different from Peah, from Baba Metzia with the Metzia case? It's a hefker thing, so it should be okay. Davagav da havi devar shel hefker mikol makom bekam mekamot yimtza sheyuchal lifros metzudato. You could cast your net anywhere. You don't have to cast it right here. And since you don't have to cast, you could accomplish this forever. You can't throw it here. This is the same, the point that we said about the Ani Mehapech B'Charara. You could do this somewhere else. You can't take this thing because you could do this somewhere else. You can't cast your net here because you could cast it somewhere else and still achieve the same thing. V'od, he has a second piece. V'od dahacha umenato bekach. And this is what this guy does for a living. And when you cast your net here, you're interfering in a real way in his livelihood. Tosfot continues that we have this case in Chezkat Abatim. Later on, Nichse Kananim Harehen Kamidbar. The rule is, well, I'll read the whole thing and then we'll go back and say it. Kol Amachzik Behen Zachah Behen. So you have the Nichasim of a non-Jew are like a midbar. They're hefker. Whoever is machzik them gets to keep them. My Tama Kanani Mechimata Zuze Liyadei Istalik Lev Yisrael Lo Kani Adamati Shtar Liyadei. Because the scenario is a particular scenario where if the non-Jew is selling his house to a Jewish person, so as soon as the non-Jew receives the money, he loses ownership over the house. It's no longer his, but it hasn't yet entered into the Jew's position until he gets his shtar. So, which means that in the in between, after the money's been given, but before the Yisrael has the shtar, this house, these nechasim, have the status of a midbar. They're hefker, and so anyone can grab it and take it. Perish Rashbam hatam d'Israel ha-machzik rasha mihamikri. And the way the Rashbam, Baba Batra, the way he says later on, he says that Yisrael who grabs it is a rasha. He jumped in there. It's very clear. Yisrael 1 was trying to buy this. And Yisrael 2 says, oh, it's hefker. He jumps in and he grabs it. That's so Rashbam would call him a Rasha, but Rabbi Yotam is saying, remember, Rabbi Yotam is saying, you're not a Rasha if you could not get the, if this is like, you know, as like a Metzia, like this is a great find, you can't get this anywhere else. These are Nechasim that are free right now. This is Hefker. You can run in, you can grab it. And so Rabbi Yotam says, Afilu Rasha lo havi, you're not even a Rasha. Kevan shelo yimtza b'makom acher, where are you going to find this anywhere else? This is a great, you want this? This is great, you can't get this anywhere else. So Rabbi Yotam says, for him, this is amazing. Rashbam says, you're a Rasha. Rabbi Yotam says, you're not even a Rasha. V'kashel a Rashbam. There's a problem, though. Mihad de'amar be'ezu neshech in Baba Metzia. We have a case. I brought the case in full in source number 4. Rav Mari bar Rachel, mashken lehu nochri beta. So essentially, Rav Mari bar Rachel loans money to the non-Jew. Non-Jew gives him his house as a collateral. And then the non-Jew goes ahead and sells that house to Rava. In the meantime, I guess Rav Mari bar Rachel is living in the house. He waits a year back in the... Not the Treso Yarchishata, it's a year. Shakal Agar Beita Amtei LaRava. And then now Rav Mari bar Rachel gives the money, the rent that he would have to pay, he gives that to Rava. And he's paying for the fact that he was living here. And he explains that he didn't pay earlier because he wasn't sure if the house was going to end up being his or not. So he says he waited time to pay. He didn't want to pay it yet. He was going to wait, but now he's paying for it for now and paying into the future. That's the scenario here. And the question is, if we look at the four lines up from the bottom of Tosfot, he said the Hashta. Tosfot says Hashta. Kevan shekadma cheskat Rav Mari lecheskat Rava. The reality here is that if the Nochri ends up defaulting on this property, whatever this is a Hefker property, Rav Mari already is in the house. He should be able to be Kona it. It should be his right now. So why is he paying for it? Says, look, if this was the sale actually happened to Rava. Rav Mari happened just to be in the right place at the right time, and he can get this, he can be machzik it, he can get it right now. Presumably, this should be like before. If you're like Rashi, This works perfectly. Why did Rav Mari want to pay? He wanted to pay because he didn't want to get into this situation of being a Rasha. Because what happened was, really, Rav is the one who should be getting this property, but he happens to have gotten it first. So he wants to pay him to say, because if he takes it without paying for it, he's concerned that he's going to have the status of a Rasha. The problem is, for Rabbeinu Tam, it shouldn't be. Because this was something that was Hefker. You couldn't have gotten this any other way. Just like in the preceding case, from Chezkat Abatim, we said if it's totally fine for him to do this. He's not a Rasha. So for Rabbeinu Tam, why does Rav Mari decide? Why does he pay Rava? He should be able to keep it. It's totally his. He's not even a filu Rasha lo mikri. So Rabbeinu Tam introduces, or Tosfot, I guess, quoting the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, goes further. He says, "Avala peirush Rabbeinu Tam tafilu Rasha lo mikri amaylo zacha ba Rav Mari." Kevanta Heter Gamarhu. He was totally, absolutely okay. This was Hefker. What he did was totally and completely permissible. It was totally fine for him to do this. So why did he decide to pay? So Rabbeinu Tam introduces this idea, Shema Lifni Mishrata Din Avad. You're right. He had absolute, total rights to do this. He's not a Rasha. It was totally fine. But it was, I guess, maybe, I don't know, I'm editorializing saying it was lo na'im. He says, lifni mishrat hadin. He wanted to go beyond. You're right, he has every right to this property, but he didn't think it was appropriate, which is something that we can sort of keep in mind as we go through this, and I'm sure we'll probably, themes of this will come up in Halacha Lamaisa, that even if you can demonstrate that you have absolutely every right to be doing something, you're zochadis from Hefker, it's totally fine, you can't say anything, I'm not a Rasha, but maybe sometimes there's a value in going lifni mishrat hadin when it comes to some of these other issues. I wasn't sure. Did you have a question? Okay. Yes, Rabbi Tocino. Here, I'm gonna mute my computer so that there's not gonna be feedback. Everyone on the computer can hear. Give me a thumbs up. Okay. I didn't think about that. Oh, hold on. I didn't think about that. Oh, you could still hear me anyway, so fine. I didn't think about that.
Just because it's fundamentally the same point, right? Kovanam Yudas Tadon says, if you couldn't get this profit somewhere else, you're entitled to take it. But if you couldn't just as easily do it somewhere else, then why should you harm the other guy by getting it here?
Interesting.
It sounds very simple. I hadn't thought about it before either, but then just listening to you retell the Tosfos here, like, it makes sense. That's really a Kofan on the Dust Dome concept. I don't really see much of a difference. The other point is just that the Yepis Machlokes Rashi Tosfos regarding the Lifnei Mishuras Hadin in general elsewhere, and whether we view Lifnei Mishuras Hadin as a halachic imperative.
Okay.
As opposed to just, well, it's a nice thing to do. And you can make the argument that here, Rabbi Tam is using it more towards the halachic imperative.
So I don't know this conversation at all about lifnei mishurat hadin being a halachic imperative, but I mean Tosva heter gamor hu. It's totally heter.
Yeah.
So how could you I guess can you say more about what you mean by that?
Yeah, it's a bigger topic. We did it a couple of years ago in Shir, so that's where I'm coming from. But you have a story, and I don't want to take too much of your Shir time. But you have a story about Mitzia where it's sort of a classic. Rava has porters carrying his stuff. There are different versions, different editions, different Amorim in the story. But as an Amora who has porters carrying barrels of wine, and the porters break the barrels of wine, and then, first of all, he takes their cloaks as payment. And then the question comes before Rav, and Rav says, no, give them back their cloaks. And then not only that, Rav demands that he pay them for the day's work. And even though they broke his stuff. Because the Pasuk says, it's Mishlei, Rav has a need in Kishmar, or something like that. So there's a machlokas there as to whether that's because of Nimishuas Hadin, and really that's just a nice thing to do with Nimishuas Hadin, just means be a good person, or whether that's not with Nimishuas Hadin. That was actually with Nim, Mishuas Hadin. And that's why he didn't bring the standard psukim, because Bab Mitzia Dab Lamed gives you real psukim for Nimishuas Hadin.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give you this thing from Mishlei. It gives you Yisro's imperative as a Derech Yelchu Ba. So the question then is the Nimishuas Hadin just a nice thing to do, and like Rava's story with the porters, or is the Nimishuas Hadin a serious halachic imperative that applies in certain cases and not in others, and doesn't apply to that case there? That's Lamad Derech Tovim. And in that case, when you do choose to invoke the Nimishuas Hadin, you mean something that's a serious halachic concept. And Rashi, if I remember correctly, and it's been a few years, but if I remember correctly, Rashi is the one who says that story is the Nimishuas Hadin, and therefore we understand that Rashi applies the Nimishuas Hadin very broadly, even if it's not a serious halachic imperative. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam does not. Rabbeinu Tam says that's not the Nimishuas Hadin. When he uses the Nimishuas Hadin, he's serious, and it actually is something you have to do.
Interesting. So I want to. I think could you hear when they were talking? Was that helpful? Okay, we get like a half nod. That's good enough. We'll take it.
What's better? What's not better?
No,
I don't want to make
time. Wait, hold on. I just want to say before you say anything. I just want to say that I want we're gonna come back to another lifnei mishurat hadin later. So I will think about it. if you want to study ahead. It's the Beit Yosef in source number. Wherever the Beit Yosef is. Source number 11. If you want to study ahead and see how that fits into everything.
I think we need to add something to this discussion. When you often compares between Amir Me'apet B'Chalalah and our case of the Dag in Yehud Avonut Chavot, we need to understand it's not the same thing. The terminology about Rasha or Lifnei Mishurat Hadin and the thing that he's giving also about the Nesekin Ani, it's not the same thing. It's not the same case regarding Mitzvot Adad. I mean, if someone is looking for something and you come here and I don't know, you just grab it before him, it's not Yoreh Rabut Chavero. It's a different thing. I think that what the Tosfot is trying to do here is to compare Rabbeinu Tam. Trying to understand what Rabbeinu Tam would say, because he says something general in Hefker and the Gimor Hefker as well. But I'm not sure we should understand, again, the discussion whether it's a Nim Shurat Adin or not a Nim Shurat Adin. It's an inner discussion about if someone is doing something and you came right before him and took it. I'm not sure we should understand.
Well, to your point, I think this is part of your point, is that Tosfot also identifies that this is a case of the Ode Dachumunato Bekach, which is an additional point. It's not just in the world of Harara, but there's also this other factor that this is, we're talking about someone's livelihood here, which may be different.
We say here, marichikin. You know, like Achila, you need to be distancing it. But for example, the Nisei Knanin, you don't say don't take, right? The Nisei Knanin, although it's hefker. No, it's hefker. No, you can. It's hefker gamur. There's no prohibition of doing here. It's this brayta of marichikin. It's a prohibition, or the marichikin of the Rechaim. It's a prohibition of doing something.
Right, but he still thinks, and this is, I think, maybe more explicit, and maybe this is not going to disagree with what you're saying, but he still thinks in source number, in the Tosfot and Kiddushin, source number 5, he still thinks that whatever the rules are for Harara, these two sugyot have to work together. Marchikin with the dog and Mabach B'chara, because otherwise, I mean, if you, we'll look at source number 5, when in the Gemara of Ani Mabach B'chara, so he says that according to Rashi, this is a case of Hefker, and he says that couldn't be because Hefker is Hefker is totally fine. And then he says, and the three lines down in source number 5, Amir Rinu Taim, De'isr Mahapach Nakat Hacha, Lo Shayach, Ela Dav Kishir Azani Leharviach, Bishirut Ok Sheretzel, Likno Tavar Achad, Vechaver Maktim, Vekoneh Havi Dumya Derav Gidel, that's the case over here. Umishum Hachid Kamar Denikwa Ra, he's called a Rasha. Kelam HaChazer Azo, why are you going after this one? The Shetarach Ba'achavero, Leilech Vistakar Makama, go somewhere else. You're intervening here, you could do this, you could get this somewhere else. Aval Im Haita Charara De Hefker, Lake Isr Shah, there's no Isr. Umihu Kasha, Mehi De Parik, Debeperik lo yachbar. I mean, he thinks lo yachbar is a kasha on his understanding. That's a long way of me saying that I think I hear what you're saying. That yes, marchikin et hadag, mitzudat hadag, and ani amepech b'charar are different. But Tosfot thinks that whatever we say for one is going to have a directly impact the other
one.
We
cannot say automatically that why marchikin because he's a Russian.
Fine. Fine.
Again, we saw that in the Rishonim, it's Gazlan. So it's different cases, but there is similarity. It's totally different.
Fine. Okay. While Steve's already up, anyone else?
I actually was wondering myself, we put this in conversation with the for us, a lot. I'm wondering if there's also a conversation for the conversation with the concept of Parikini Adam Taikini Shemayim.
So say more.
If you're a Russia, does it have the Nachmina of making it, in the same category of putting out on higher finish tonight? What did the same Russia actually do on?
So we talked a little bit about this as Seder, and the Shulchan Aruch does talk a little bit about what the Nafkamina is of being a Russia. I'm looking. What? That's shaming. Shaming. Okay. For those who couldn't hear, what's that? All right, so we just in response to Idan, I already sort of touched on source number 5. Not sort of touched on, but source number 5 is also this the Rabbeinu Tosfot in Kiddushin, this Harara Sugya, talking about Rabbeinu, quoting Rabbeinu Tam's position. The second half of it, of this Tosfot, which introduces something really interesting, we're not going to get to yet. We're going to come to in a little bit. But at this point, we have Rabbeinu Tam's position here, and I just thought, I saw the Ritva in source number 6. I thought plays out this, explains Rabbeinu Tam's position sort of nicely with Rav Huna, and then what the opponents of Rav Huna would say about this. So, source number 6: Dina de me'akev ale de'amar kapasak de lechiutai perish de medama le la'ani hamehapech b'charara. That this is compared to ani hamehapech b'charara uvacher v'nat lami menu, and this is like someone else who comes and grabs it. Nikra rasha b'nei sheyacholim sochara acheret. Like, no, you could get it somewhere, you could go somewhere else, get it somewhere else. Vanami Sava Rav Huna, Sheachol Omarlo, Atayachol Asot Umanutchav Makom Acher. And Rav Huna is going the same thing and saying, you could get this Harara somewhere else, you could get this, you could get this, these Dagim somewhere else. That's what Rav Huna is saying, Yachol Asot Umanutchav Makom Acher. Right, Adila Kaman, and the people who disagree, Depliga ale the chen rabbanan depliga ale the Rav Shimon Gamliel savri she'enu me'akev alav, he can't still in the world of ani mepechara. He says kevan shu b'mnei mavui ve'enu dome l'ani mepechara dehacha hefsed yeshlo she'en hadavar mizdamen lo l'arviach mavui acher. That he's like the whole machloket Rav Huna and rabbanan and everyone who disagrees with him is about whether we say that the fact that you can't get this over here is enough to say you can't get it over here. That, okay, Rav Huna will say, look, you can get it somewhere else. The opponent will say, no, I can't really get it somewhere else. There's a Okay. There's a hefsed that I'm going to have by me having to go somewhere else because it's not going to be as good over there. I want to get it over here. And so it's interesting that he is, I think, the way the Ritva, and he says, he compares it to the Talis case, and he says at the end of the second to last line of source number 6, Kedepirish Rabbeinu Tam. Like I think he thinks this is how Rabbeinu Tam is explaining the whole thing, that the machloket Rav Huna and the people who disagree with him is about whether we can actually say with the umanut thing, you could do it just as easily elsewhere. Rav Huna will say, you can do it just as easily elsewhere. And the other position will say, no, you can't do it just as easily elsewhere. There's a reason to be here, and so you can allow him to stay here. So I don't know. Does that...
it doesn't make sense.
Why not?
Again, because he's within the heifer part. All the point of Tosfot is to compare between the Dagim and Daniel Abed Chalera is this is heifer and this is heifer. So how come there he would say he's not going to say he's a Rasha, but here he needs to distance himself? If not a Rasha, what Rabbeinu Tam would say? What's the reason to distance yourself in a heifer case? The Rechaim of Amanuyot is not heifer. Amanuyot is not heifer.
Yeah.
And he steals something that someone did before that, or takes advantage of something that someone was there and already built. It's not a case of there is a lot of heifer stuff. Let's see who's going to grab it first. It's not the same keys at all.
If I understand what you're saying correctly, then I think that is like that's davka the reason that Rabbanan disagree and say. There is already a good reason for you to want to stay here, so you can stay here because you're not going to get the same benefits.
You don't need to go to Chachamim, the Gemara says. Dagim Shane. I mean, we don't need to go all the way to Chachamim and say, oh, what's the difference between the Hefker, the Dagim, or the Yom Ha'Bechara and the Rechaim? It's different. They have a Sierra, it's different. The cases are not the same. The cases, it's not your Yom Ha'Bechara, the Dagim. It's not Rechaim. But it's not because it's a Hefker.
Okay, but I think the way. Sorry, wait, hold on, wait, hold on, run.
There is a machloket whether an Yom HaBechara is hefker or not.
Right, correct. But he's quoting here Rabbeinu Tam. He's going to Pirush Rabbeinu Tam. No, right, but the way I understood what he was doing here, the Ritva here is saying that the way position of Rav Huna, you could do it somewhere else. Who writes the Kaman, and the position who disagrees with Rav Huna, so they're holding the Eino Domelani of Bechara. You can't compare this to Anim Bechara. Dacha have said yes. Look, I want to be. There's a specific reason I want to be here. Rav Huna will say you can go, you can accomplish everything, you can get the same thing here, you can get there. So do it over there. The Rabbanan will say no. I can't. This is a great place for it. I want to do a Davka here. Yeah. I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying that the fish is not...
You're right. Yeah, Rav Steve.
Yeah, I actually want to put on this a little bit. As far as this goes with, preventing someone from being able to do something easier than they had to at the end of that, how far can we send that? For example, someone cuts you off in a parking spot, you need to park farther away from your thing. That's not, it's a public parking lot. It's not anyone's business you're directly owning. But that person is still disenfranchised. So are we talking about your disenfranchisement of another person, or are we talking about specifically it impacting a particular business?
I mean, the way Rabbeinu Tam had said it in the previous page, and we're going to say, we'll look at Rambam in source number 8 in a second, but, I mean, we're talking about, like, Shim lo yistaker b'makom zeh, yimtza yistaker b'makom acher, like, we're talking about umanut. I don't know, but it's an interesting
business.
Yeah, I think we're assuming some sort of financial something as opposed to just a parking spot in a parking lot. But I don't know. That's an interesting. If you were to make an argument that the closer the parking spot is, the better I can get in there faster. I can do more work. I don't know. Maybe you could make an argument that there is something to having a better parking spot. I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting thought.
What's wrong with v'haftalarecha kamocha?
Right.
That was what's wrong with v'haftalarecha kamocha. Yeah. Okay. So we can. Source number seven was just my attempt to sort of retell and re-explain Rav Huna versus the other side according to the way the Ritva had explained it in source number six, which I thought Ritva going within explaining Kedipirish Rabbeinu Tam. But we can move on. We can move on from there. Another aspect that I saw some quoting, and this is like if you were to ask me, like the thing what competition in business, what is that? What is like the halachic term for that? I would think what I would think naturally is hasagat gvul. That's the way the normal language that I would think. And we've seen that at least when this is coming up in this gemara, hasagat gvul does not come up here. The Rishonim that we talked about, Yored Loto Umanato Shel Chavero, we haven't seen Hasagat Gvul. So there are a couple places that do mention this Hasagat Gvul type of thing. There's a responsa, I quoted this in the Chabura yesterday, source number 8, it's Tshuva of the Rambam. It's the scenario, the case that he was asked about was a Mohel who sort of beat another Mohel to the Mila, and he did the Brit Mila, and he gave the money, but the guy he gave to Tzedakah was a whole, like, is it okay? Is he a Rashi? It's not. He was poor. And in the context of that conversation, which Bar Ilan puts a lot of commas, which I think are ellipses, that there's pieces of this tshuva that are missing. But he says, Avar Gamken Avera, this person did an Avera, who beat him there, the Moel who did the Mila first. She read l'umanut chavero, afilu haya nitzrach. Avak she'eno nitzrach, harezo achzariyut v'haflaga v'nikima v'nitira. That's really bad. Vasur l'mishi yeshlo. And then there's Vedavara Sherhu, I don't know, there's something clearly missing in what we have of the text. The last line he has, Kol Mishima Akev, Chavero, not Chavero, Lasok Ma'asav, Harehu Bichlal Mesi Gvul Rehu Lefi Dati. This is within the category of Hasagat Gvul, in my opinion. So he's talking, he mentioned Yered Lumina Chavero, but then he brings up Hasagat Gvul. In Bar Ilan, it's sort of, there's a footnote here. And it footnotes to Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot. But if you look in Sefer HaMitzvot, Rambam is very clear that Hasagat Gvul is not this. Hasagat Gvul is what the Maharshal is going to put on source number 9. There was someone who seems to have the Bar Ilan footnote said there was a Pei Nun that I don't know who it was, but maybe this Pei Nun addresses how Rambam says this, but that's not what he says in Sefer HaMitzvot. I don't know. But that's what Rambam seems to be saying. Here, the Maharshal in source number 9, talking about a separate case, again, of people interfering with other people's finances. One person is causing a loss to the other person's damages. Mashikanu ameches v'kibchu mechiyatam shel chavereihem. Shedinahu demakav alef. You can stop him because he's going to be hurting your income. Midina nami hu bichlal rasha. He's rasha kmo ani mefech b'chara. He's like a mahapech b'chara. V'acher v'nadla v'efsharshu nami bichlal. It's possible that it's also within Arur kamosh ketav rokeach. I couldn't find this in the rokeach. Kol ha-mekapeach mechiyato shel chavero, hu bichlal arur mesig gvul reehu. He says that this, if you are detracting from your neighbor's finances, that is within this category of asagat gvul. He says, Rabim tamu al devar ze, halav lo tasi gvul chule airi begozel tchumo uveret Yisrael over af al lo tigzo. He says, that's not hasagat gvul. So he's like, I don't know where this is coming from, that you say this is actually within hasagat gvul. It couldn't be. Hasagat gvul is talking about me moving the property line, trying to get more land, specifically in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't, and that's very clear. So the fact that it's hasagat gvul doesn't make any sense. If you say that, I don't know, I was sort of playing with this idea that maybe you say that really, you know, it's like a d'oraita hasagat gvul is hasagat gvul as it is moving property lines. But there's, I don't know, this like din d'rabbanan here that they sort of adding on to this, and that's an extension. You know, I mean, you don't have to, the way you could maybe Rambam or the Rokeach would say that it's a d'rabbanan in the category of hasagat gvul or something, and that's the Beit Yosef doesn't say that, but the Beit Yosef just points out that this is what we're talking about is Yored L'tuchum Minotot Chavero, bad business practices is going to be a din derabanan. And he proves that from the Gemara in source number 10, which is at the end of this, towards the Chaf Bet Amud Aleph, where there's Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzhak, Umode Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua, Baruch Lina Machzirin Ba'ayarot, Elo Matimakev. He agrees that if you have these traveling salespeople, that they can, you can't stop them. Demar Mar, Ezer Tiken Len Yisrael, Shiyu Ruch Lin Machzirin Ba'ayarot, Kadeshu Tachshitin between the Note Yisrael. No, there's Tekana. You have to allow these people to go so that people, women can buy, so they can get all fancy. You have to allow this. Vahani Mili La Duri, Avaluk Vui Lo, but that's only if they're traveling. If they're setting up shop permanently, you can't. Vi Tzorba Mirabananu, I feel like Vuinami. But if they're Tumor Rabbanan, they can set up shop there permanently and you can't stop them. Ki Hadarava Shara Lahu Rabbi Yoshaya Ulurav Rabbi Yoshia Ulurav Ovadia Lekvui Delo Kihilchata Maitama Kevan Rabbananinhu Atu Litirdu Migirsahir. They're Torah scholars. If you have them, they're allowed to set up shop here. But it's saying Deloki Hilchata. So the Beit Yosef in source number 11 says, Vamai, Damrin and Rava Sharlehu Vachule, Deloki Hilchata. To me, Ali Hecha Avi Deloki, how could you go with Deloki Hilchata? If you're going to say this is a problem, then how could you all of a sudden be lenient to allow them to do this? Vafal Pi Shirashi Yishev Vikatav Elifnimi Shredadin. They were going with Nimi Shredadin. We call them Kashali, Man Palig the Rava asked the Asot Lifnimi Shredadin. Lafsi Lenshea Ir Shalomi Datam. How could you still allow them to, just because you're going to Lifnimi Shredadin for them, but you're hurting other people? Vefshar, dekevan shedinim halalu dematzu me'akvi mirabanan be'almahu mitnei tikkun ha'olam. It's tikkun ha'olam. This is just a din to Rabbanan. Not just, but this is a din to Rabbanan. So, but so Rabbanan, ratu laso lifni min hashira klamar shelo lehachmir alav kamo ba'amar. It's okay, so for other people, maybe we'll be machmir, where you're not going to allow to, but there we're going to be lenient because it's a din to Rabbanan anyway, so the Rabbanan are able to waive it for instances that they believe it should be waived, like this. Yeah, Rav Steve? No, I just gotta.
So how would you understand? Can we understand better what the Gemara would say about Bar Mata Frite, that he paid taxes and maybe because he paid taxes, then we have no claim on him. How could he be moche or meakev on him because he's there's not gonna be any has like a fool here. Maybe we can even try to connect the part with the Rabbana with the Karza. Maybe because they're dismissed from paying the taxes, and they're still going to be counted as living in the city. I don't know, but how do you? Can
we
understand that better
than this? I haven't thought. This is a Shanus question. This is Shanus's. That line of the Gemara is Shanus's favorite part of the Gemara. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't thought about that at all. I'd want to look at that. Okay, next week. That's okay. We have this to do next week. One last point before moving on from this specific conversation is we've been assuming that this Yered L'toch Umanut Chavero is that you're financially impacting. I'm hurting you financially, right? I'm doing that, and the problem is your bank account is now smaller. You're not getting the same number of people. So I saw Ben Yehoyada who says slightly different lyrics, says more than that, based off of a pasuk or a gemara about a pasuk. So there's Idan's pasuk from Tanakh on the source sheet, source number 12. I apologize that it is not vocalized appropriately, but that won't happen in the future. The pasuk in Yechezkel is talking about what a person who doesn't sin, all the different things that they don't do, and one of the lines that it says about a person who doesn't who's not sinning is the et eshet rehu lo timet, someone who did not make impure his neighbor's wife. Right, so the Gemara there, source number 13, says, the eshet rehu lo timet, what is that referring to? Shlo yered lo umanut chavero. Says that's referring to lo yered lo umanut chavero. So Ben Yehoyada, source number 14, has the sort of, I don't know if fun is the right word, but a fun little, fun's not the right word, an explanation of what this means. It says, nearly, so it's thinking here that when you're yored l'toch umanut chavero, you're causing your person now has to go somewhere else. Lasok sham beumanut shelo ki iav shalo l'arviach b'hiyot gam ze osek beumanut zo. Rabbi or katana, right? Especially if it's a small city, what you're doing when you enter into your neighbor's business is you're essentially forcing your neighbor to move somewhere else. He's going to have to work somewhere else. Ah, Ishtov Anav Yisharu Be'iro. But he's going to have to leave his family at home because he can't move his whole family. So he's going to go off somewhere else. He can't move them. So he has this assumption that most of the, for a married couple, the majority of the time, the woman is going to be in the status of Tahara. And he gives a whole explanation as to why he thinks that's the case, because she's going to be pregnant, all different things. He says, "Ve'im isha tachet ba'ala rov yamei ha'torah, ki ba'et ibur shela hi torah, k'sheteled titma chodesh o yoter v'titaher, b'kol yamei hinakata hi misulaket damim, v'achar chav dalad chodshe yinika, tachzor v'titaber, v'kol v'chen al ze haderech," that she's, a woman's going to, most of the time, she's going to be pregnant or nursing, or most of the time she's not going to be, anida. Nimtza rov yamei ha'torah minida. Okay. Ach, zeh shegaram lechavero lipared miishto v'lech lamakom acher. You're going somewhere else. Bishvil esek umanut gorem shetia isha eshet reihu tamit meya dimena mitaberet tir eveset uva'ala eno ba'ir kedei shetit bol v'imken. So if he's not there, she's not gonna go to the mikveh. She's gonna remain in a state of nida. V'imken tuma benida tia koyimea. She's always going to be in the state of nida because she's never going to go to the mikvah. She's never going to have to go to the mikvah because the husband's never going to be around. V'chashiv ki'ilu hu time oto betumat hanida. So it's as if he was making her tame through tumat nida because he has to leave the town. He's like causing her to be tumea for longer, which is a very clever little thing here for trying to understand how the Gemara is getting one lo yared la umanut chavero from lo timeh etecha eshet or timeh eshet rehu lo timeh, but it's, I think it's just that also a piece here to just remember that when one is interfering with someone else's business practices, it's sometimes it could have ramifications beyond, okay, so you don't make as much money as you did before. But I think what the Ben Yoyada is sort of getting at is that it is a far-reaching thing. If you have a person who has to leave town, they leave their family, it's parnasa is not the easiest thing to come by, so to get in there and end up having to push someone else out, it could be very detrimental to a lot of different things. I think the bottom line of coming out of the Ben Yehoyada, but I thought it was a really clever little piece there of how he's doing that. Okay, so that's the first chunk of what I wanted to do. I want to switch now. Is that a payas spin? Okay. So I wanted to. Sorry, I shouldn't. I want to spend a little bit of time now on the Shani Dagim, what we have to say about the fact that the Dagim are different. So source number 15, Shani Dagim Diavi Siara, notnin Ayin Bahabatam. So the fish are they're in the water. Liyot Noagin Larutz Lamakom Sharu Shamizonot. So they are looking around, always trying to find where they're going to find food. Hilkach, Kevan Shikir Zecharo, Venatam Mizonot Betoch Malerit Sato, Batuachu Shil Kadenu. I, the fisherman who was there first, I'm looking, I know, I put my bait in here in the water, and the fish, I put my bait right in front of the, I know, remember, Rashid said, I know where the chor is, I know where this fish is going to be hanging out, I put the bait here, it is as if it's in my hand already. It is like, I know I'm going to get this. This is like a guaranteed thing. But when someone else now throws his, Kamanda Matali Adei, he says, it's like as if it's in my hand already. So you put your bait in, and now my fish sees that. Well, maybe it is my fish. It's going to go there. See over there. It's going to go over there. You're mazik me. Nimsa chaveru maziko. Aval hacha, mishaba etzli yavo, mishaba etzlecha yavo. But he says, okay, but with the Rechaim case, whoever comes to you, go to you. It's not the same thing. In this case, it's like, this is comparable, and this is what Rav Yehuda talked about. Like, this is, if it's mine, and then it leaves me and goes to you. But that's not happening in the Rechaim. Yeah.
I think it's more than that. How I understand the Russian now, after a week of studying it the first time, is it's just actually what he's saying is, don't compare fish to human beings. I mean, fish, it's not the same thing. Human beings, if you open a shop, it's another shop. It's not necessarily, no one, you cannot say for sure that the customers will move from you to me and kapaska to the chayyim. Maybe, I don't know, maybe more people will come and your income will increase. In the game, you might be sure because they're animals and they're fish, and you know that if I put a net, they don't have this free choice or this free option of deciding to what net to go to. So they'll go to the person they see. So I think the essence of what you're saying, don't compare fish to human beings.
Okay.
don't say kapas katin lechayote before we even check them. We stop.
See what happens. Yeah. So I mean, I think that fits nicely with the point of the Rimi Gash in source number 17. But we'll get to that in a second. But we'll hold that thought. The Tosfot, source number 16, this is a continuation of the Tosfot of Kiddushin that we saw the beginning of earlier, and I thought we should just see this inside also. V'od Omer Rabbeinu Meir, Aviv Shel Rabbeinu Tam, Demari Bedag Met. So there's a dead fish here in the water, floating like a dead fish. Sheken Derech Dayagim L'Hasim B'Mitzudot Dag Met. They put the dead fish as bait in the water, in their net, in the trap. V'hadagim mitasfim sham saviv oto hadag v'kevan shezet pires mitzudato tchila. He cast his net initially. V'ladei maaseh she'asah ze mitasfim sham saviv v'adai im haya chavero pores hava ki'ilu gozelo v'yachol lomar lo tuchal lasot ken b'makom acher. You could say to him, "Yevachol lomar lo, tuchal lasot ken b'makom acher." You could do this somewhere else. But again, the way Rabbeinu Meir Aviv Shel Rabbeinu Tam is presenting this is that keilu goes low. Right? This is again. This is like he is gozel because he has set the net. He has put the fish in the water. Maybe even the fish are in the net. And when they go, he is taking them out of his net. That's like a gezela. The Rimi Gash, source number 17, has a different vision of what's happening here. And the Rimi Gash sort of thinks that the second fisherman is just like tanking the whole fishing enterprise here. Marchikim mitzudat hadag min hadag, kolomar, marchikim mitzudat hadag mitzudat hayag acher. You have to distance yourself. Alma, the last line of the last four words of the first line. Alma matzi amarle hay dayag lechavre kapasaktele lechiyuti. You are stopping. You're taking from my. You're preventing my. You're stopping my income. Me'akevale. Lema'abed mitsuda achriti. You can stop him from putting up another net. Gabe mitsuda delay near his hacha nami matzi amar le kapazak lechiyute umeakav le milok mi rechaya gabe rechaya delay. So the same too. I could say don't do. I can just like I can stop the fisherman from casting his net near mine. I can stop the rechaim guy from opening up another rechaim. V'dachin, and we say no. Maybe the two cases are, not maybe the two cases are different. The fish have like little they and the way he says it, they send out little messengers. Right? The fish are sighting, always looking around to see the road. Im yesha metzuda, they're seeing are there traps here or not? Uksharin metzuda rishona, they see one trap, they see the first trap. Yodin shiyesha metzudot harbet, they see the first trap and they say, oh my gosh, there are a lot of traps here. All the fish will swim away. Because they're going to think, oh my God, there are a lot of traps. They're not going to come to him at all. Which means that this first net is preventing this second guy, or the guy who threw his net first, and then the second guy comes and throws another net. That second net is stopping everything. He is. It's not like you get some, I get some. There's no fish going to him anymore. What? So I don't know. Why would he do that? I don't know. He's not a nice guy.
Why would he do that? I mean, it also like Manushak. If you putting your net there causes that, then you putting my net.
So I feel the way I was assuming it. Even though he doesn't say this, he says when they shirim mitzuda rishona, I feel like maybe they see two nets. They see mitzuda rishona and they know there's a shniya. So they're like, oh my gosh, two nets. That's not what he says. I know, but I'm.
There's no fish in the area now because of that idiot. So what's the benefit for him?
It doesn't matter what the benefit is for the second guy who throws his net. The point of the matter is that the point is that the first guy is not getting anything now. And that's to your point that you said before. That's what he says in the continuation.
אפשר שילחו בזו מצודה אחרת כמו בריחיים שאפשר שיהיו מקצת אנשים תוכנים בזו קצת תוכנים בזו.
If it was a case where it could be some and some, okay. לא מפסק לי לחיו את הכלל. You're not really hurting. You're not stopping him completely. יש למה שאין מעכב עליו ואף על גב דהב המפחית לי לחיו את. Even though you're מפחית it. You're reducing it a little bit. מצי אמר לי, עד מצי לך מי דפסקו לך מן שמיה ועד אמרתי לי מי דפסקו לי מן שמיה. Okay, good. And Rosh Hashanah, Ayin Rav Yehuda's shir from the Sma back earlier before from Rosh Hashanah. I daven for my parnasa. You daven for your parnasa. So look, this is what we got. If you had totally eradicated everything, okay, that's a problem. But he's assuming that if both of us are making something, that's not okay. You can't stop that. I get what was ordained for me from heaven. You get what was ordained to you from heaven. Okay. A couple last points just on this. The Shulchan Aruch in source number 18, talking about the Dagim case lahalacha, skipping to the end, the last couple lines of the Shulchan Aruch. Halokeach Dagim mitoch metzudato shel chavero, kshehi betoch hayam. If I go and I, you have your trap in the water, and I go and I take the fish out of your trap, o shelakach chayam metzudato kshehi prusa bemidbar, or is opened up in the midbar. That's midivrei sofrim, prohibited. Vimaya mitzuda kli, but if they were in a kli, which means that it was like an extension of my hand, so to speak, now it's actually mine. It's in my net first. And then that's actually gazela, because my net wasn't a net. The kli that they were in was a kli. I already made a kinyan on it, but I guess the way the Shulchan Aruch is paskening here is that if it's just in the free-flowing net, it doesn't have the status of a kli, it's not actually officially mine yet. Maybe that's what he's saying, but Tikkun Olam, we're going to say that it's yours, but only Midin Derabanan. Okay, so on this, the Ketzor HaChoshen, source number 19. Right, sorry, Idan, did you have a question before?
No, I'm just saying that this is the way Shulchan Aruch is explaining it, totally different than Rabbeinu Meir. Again, Rabbeinu Meir said there is a dead fish, it's like a hook, it's a totally different piece of fish.
So we'll see. The Ketzor HaChoshen is going to explain exactly, he thinks that he's going like Rabbeinu Tam. He says, "V'alokech tagim mitoch mitzudato shel chavero b'kiddushin peraka omer nun ten redav tosva d'marachel ani mahapich v'chara katvu sham b'shem Rabbeinu Tam deleke iser ela b'schirut umekach umemkar avav mitzia v'hefker lo nikar rasha." You're not a rasha if it's from hefker. V'hikshu v'hadam rina perak lo yachbor machikim mitzudat dag kamelo ritzat dag af al pishu hu hefker katvu sham b'shem Rabbeinu Meir aviv shel Rabbeinu Tam. Demairi bedag met sheken derecha dagim lasim b'metzuda dag met v'adagim itasvim sham saviv oto adag v'givan sheze pores metzuda to techila v'alidei maase she'asa ze mitasvim sham saviv oto adag v'adai imaya chaveru pores have ke'ilu gozel lo v'yachol lomar lo tuchal lasod ken makom acher. I put this here, I put the bait in, I put the fish in, you're coming, you're causing problems, you're taking from my thing, this is ke'ilu gozel, you are taking, it's as if you're taking from me. And so he's saying that this is, he's going within Rabbi Meir. Is that what you were saying, or you were saying the opposite?
The Shulchan Aruch is definitely the different kind of fishing.
Why? Why do you say that?
The distinction that he does between the kli and the net, I don't know, if you have a basket and you just take from the water a fish, or you throw down a net to the sea, and whatever fish you catch inside. I'm not a fishing expert, but I can understand there's different methods of how you fish. And this is another question of what exactly is the mitzvah to that. But the Shulchan Aruch said that I imagine a boat with a huge net, and then they're just throwing it to the, like in industrial fishing, just throw a huge net to the sea. Whatever fish is caught inside will be caught inside, and maybe that's why it's not going to be a gezel. Because they don't have a kavana on one specific fish.
I'm going to have.
It's very different than the Rabbeinu Meir. Very different, and also the Rashi.
I don't know that you have to say that it's a different reality. I want to just do these last things, and it's already 11:24. But I don't know that you have to say they're different. But I hear your point, but I don't know you have to say it's different, and maybe this will play into the Tevot HaMishpat on source 21, this piece about what exactly this fishing looks like. But the Ketzot quotes this, and he says here at the top of page 4, V'li anivetati, anivetati, nira lulei divrei ha-tosvot, t'chia gavna havei le gezel gamer. So he says, if not for what Tosfot says, I would think this is gezel gamer. I think what he really means from the continuation, he disagrees with this. He thinks that it actually is gezel gamer. How does he know? You can take it from in Beitin. This is the fish we're going because of him. You put bait in the water, and the fish swam to it. You did something. You gave it food. It came to you because of you. That's already Meshicha, he calls. It gives us reference to this case of an elephant, how you are a Kona, an elephant, and there's a case here, Pishur Tosfot, three lines down. Pirush Tosfot b'shem Rabbeinu Meshulam Dilachi nakat chavili zemora. You the way Rabbi Shulam says, you dangle chavili zemora shumach al peel. That's what an elephant eats. Magbin chavili zemora lamala vu kofetz umagbi atzmo min aris vochlan. An elephant jumps and grabs the chavili zemora, and that's hagba. V'chashiv hagba b'hachi. That's considered hagba. Tichei gav nashkan desof perek shaluach haken. This comes up later that if you cause an animal to move because of you, and that's I'm not going to do it, but if you cause the animal to move in some way, so then that's hagba. He's calling it. So it's, before Ketzot had called it meshicha, but now it's hagba. But either way, that's a kinyan, right? That's a kinyan. If you cause the animal to move, so you put its food, and it moves to the food because of you. You're all the food. That's a kinyan. Parenthetically, source number 20, elephants can't jump. So Rabbi Slifkin has a little piece here that says, Rain of Meshulam probably never saw an elephant, so how would he know that they can't jump? Okay, that's just a little minor point there. But so Ketzot is saying that if this is correct, that you put the food in the net and the fish swam to you, that's a kinyan right then and there. Done. It's totally, it's done. He quotes the Ramban's explanation, which he seems to like at the end here. I'm going to skip it for right now and just go to the Tivon HaMishpat, who's going to disagree with the Ketzot HaChoshen. Essentially says that this whole case, second line down in source number 21, Fini Yudati Nira Delo Shayach Bezeh Gezel Gamor. He says, that, no, there's no Gezel Gamor here. Didavka Bepil Shemagbiya Atzmo Lecho HaChavili Zmorot Besha'a Shemachzik HaChavili Zmorot. Da'az Havikim Ke Mugba Mikocho. If I'm holding it and dangling it, and then the animal moves towards it, that's when there's a kinyan. But if I just dangle it and walk away, and then the animal, the elephant, goes and jumps and grabs it, that's not, you don't make a kinyan like that. In order to make a kinyan with this whole dangling thing, you have to be there, you have to put it, you have to be the one like putting it there and hanging it there and being there at the time. To be in a davka shiye korela viba. That like, it's like you're calling it and it's coming to you. Shasa masa bishat meshicha ve'agba. You're doing something at the time of the shmicha ve'agba. Vazelo nikra rak gorem levad. Kivan shelo asa masa bishat kinyan. Because he didn't do anything at the time of the kinyan. So going back to Idan's question as to what exactly this looks like, he's not actively, it's one thing if you throw a fishing line and you're holding it and the fish goes to you and you're pulling it. I think he's imagining something much more, the fisherman is much more hands off and is not engaged in it in any real meaningful way. He casts the net. But again, I don't know enough about medieval and earlier fishing practices to know exactly what each of them were picturing. But it's interesting little, just machloket here between the Ketzot and Tivon HaMishpat about whether we say that this is actually, it was a real kinyan because the animal, the fish moved to the bait and captured it that way. I think we'll stop here. But so this has been just a little bit of an exploration into this topic, specifically going back to the first source, when Rav Huna says that you can't open up the other Rechaim and the Gemara attempts to compare this to the Dagin case. A little bit more about what Yoreh L'Tochel Minutos Shel Chavero might look like from the factors that might be involved, Ani Mepech B'Chara, this Hasagat Gvul aspect, and then why Dagim might be different, whether it's totally eliminating all competition, or totally eliminating anyone from benefiting, or whether there's just some healthy competition going on, whatever it is, some of the factors that are at play, and next week and beyond we'll hear some of the Halacha L'Maisa aspects of this as well.